All right, welcome to worship at College Park. We are excited that you are here today. We'd like to find out who is in worship as we get started. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take those, write your name down, and then check the appropriate boxes, give us contact information. That helps us find out a little bit about you and everybody who was in worship today. So thank you for your help. We do ask, once it gets to the end of your pew, if you could send it back to where it got started, and then when it comes back to that very first person, if you could tear out those pages, our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. A few announcements that we'll make as you get started. I don't know if this happened to you this morning when you opened your bulletin, but there's a picture in here, and I wasn't expecting. But we have a famous person in our midst. Raymond is on the statewide North Carolina offering for older adults. I don't know why Raymond is on older adults. I don't think they're trying to say anything about that. But he has a birthday this week. I don't know how old he might be. but anyway, just a reminder about the offering for older adults for Baptist Retirement Homes. So if you want to make note of that. Just in the honor of Raymond's picture, if nothing else. So several other announcements we'll make as we get started. A reminder to our Jamaica mission team, we are going to postpone today's meeting till next Sunday. So make note of that till next Sunday, this afternoon's meeting. Our youth are getting together for the Super Bowl party at the Jones House. Details are on the website about that. Other things listed there in your bulletin. The tech support class continues. Primary basketball. Our RAs are doing the recycling program, and many have already responded. And we appreciate that. Other things are listed there. Any announcements? The club or anything? Okay. Having youth choir today. Any announcements? Okay. We want to say a special welcome to our guests. We appreciate just a moment ago you gave us your information. We have ushers that are going to come down the aisles now. If you're a guest, we'd like for you to just raise your hand right where you are, and our ushers will recognize you, and they will give you a packet of information. Just keep your hand raised right where you are, and they'll recognize you. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter. Irv there on your right. There you go. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, a little bit of the story or the history of College Park and a newsletter that gives you all the latest information. So it is good to be with you today. Sometimes it's tough on a rainy day to get out of the house, much less get dressed up and come to church. Sometimes in our lives, we have those rainy, dreary days. And I think that on those days is when Jesus shines brighter, right when we need it. And I wonder, in your life today, are there some questions or some problems where maybe it's a little dark where you are, and you need to be reminded of God's presence? He is here. The light of the world is here, ready to shine his love on us. That's why we worship. That's why we come into this place with the body of believers, to be reminded God is here. Let's prepare to worship. you pray with me? Father, that song is so true. That if we let you come into our lives to touch us, to touch our hearts, we will never be the same. Everything changes in the light of your love. We are different because you came into this world. Help us to not take that for granted. But help us to remember the reason that we have life itself is you. And you want to do something amazing in us, but we have to make that choice to let you. Help us to choose life today, we pray. Be in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name. Invite all the kids, come on down. See some back there. Yeah, y'all can come on. We'll wait till everybody gets here. Not a problem. All right. Thank you. How is everybody this morning? Slide in, crisscross applesauce, wherever you can find room. Tired?
Tired?
Yeah. Me neither. I didn't want to wake up either. I know, but you all look so nice. All right, here's congregation. We're going to need your help this morning. All right, we kind of set you up for this last week. If you were here, the kids walked around. I'm going to need for you to get your high five hand out, okay, in just a minute, because the kids are going to come around and give you all a high five, okay? There's people on the aisles especially, and so just be prepared. Okay, now, did y'all hear what I was just talking about? Okay, we're gonna do a little experiment, okay? A little experiment. Can you help me out? All right, can you get your high five out? Everybody get your high five out? All right, like that. Okay, now not real hard, not real hard, not real hard, not real hard, Caleb. There you go. Okay, I need to practice with everybody. Okay, let's practice with everybody. Practice with everybody, not real hard, Caleb. Thank you. Practice with everybody. Now, when you high five, it's like you're excited, you're pumped, good to see you, or we're going to win the game, something like that, right? Okay, if Aaron Rodgers makes a touchdown, but he's not playing today, is he? Oh, he's not playing today. Oh, that's so wrong. Jamie Keltner just gave me the look. Oh, that's not good. All right, so here we go. And what we're going to do, we're going to go around and we're going to give high fives. We're going to do this in two rows, okay? One row is going to go down this way, and then another row is going to go down that. So I need for you to stand up, make a straight line, okay? I know. You guys make another line, okay? Straight line. All right, straight line. Right here. Follow in behind Caleb. Right there. Very good. All right, you guys come here. All right. Are you got your high fives out there? Are you ready? They're going to come down. They're going to do this. All right. All right, now no running and no hurting each other, okay? All right, you can go over there. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
All right, now don't run. Just go down and give high fives to everybody and then walk back, okay? And here we go. Go. High fives, high fives, high fives, all the way down. Do it. I don't hear any noise. High fives. Let's go. Yeah. I like it. I like it. Good job. Everybody come on back when you're in at the end. Everybody come back. Don't run. Come on back. That means walk this way. Okay. Good. Good job. I think they deserve a round of applause. Good job. Sit right back down. Good job. Everybody sit still. Good job. Now, I need you to sit up for me, crisscross applesauce, looking this way. Now, high-fiving. Do you know, we kind of do that. That's why we get together on Sundays. Because when we high-five somebody, what are we telling them? What do we tell somebody when we high-five them? We're happy. We're excited to see them. We're going to win the game. Do what? Okay. Whoever your favorite team is, that's an exciting thing. Guess what? You and I, whose team are we on? We're not on the Giants team. We are on God's team. We are on, and the Packers is not God's team, okay? Christian, we're going to have to talk later. All right. But here's the thing. When we come together on Sundays, and this is for us too, it is to remind us we're in this together. That it's not just us out there doing the Christian thing by ourselves. You know, Jesus, he came to church. And he came to find out, he learned about God and he taught people about God. And then he went out, he told the people, go out and live what we talk about. We need to be excited that we're doing this together. And on Sunday, we get pumped to go out and do what Jesus tells us to do. This isn't just about coming to be at worship. This is about to come to get excited to go out into the world and tell them how much Jesus loves them. That's what we do on Sunday. That's what you're going to hear Pastor Raymond talk about, life. Our life is not just about coming to worship on Sunday. It's about living it Monday through Saturday at your schools, at Boy Scouts, anywhere you go, Jesus wants us to live it out. And that's why we come here to get excited so we can leave through those doors. You know what I'm talking about? All right, let's pray together. Let's pray. God, we love you and we thank you that this morning we are reminded that it's not just enough to come to church. We come to church to get excited so that we can go and change the world by being your hands and feet every other day of the week. Help us to take that seriously, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can go back to your seats now.
It's good to have backup when you read Scripture. It's not often that happens. Our Scripture passage for the day comes from the Old Testament and the book of Isaiah. If you would, please, want to turn in your Bibles. There's Bibles in the pew backs. We're reading from chapter 40. The book of Isaiah is the first of the writings of the prophets in the Bible. The author of Isaiah, along with others that have been credited for some of the writings, is considered one of the greatest prophets. He's probably reared in an aristocratic home and was married to a prophet. In the beginning, his ministry was well-liked, but like most prophets, the message gets old after a while. I mean, how many times are you going to like it when you're told, repent or bad things are going to happen? You know, it gets old after a while. He called the people to turn from their lives of sin and warned them of God's judgment and punishment. Isaiah had an active ministry for over 60 years. He was involved with some of the leaders of Israel at that time, such as Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. The first half of the book, Isaiah talks about the bad stuff. Look, you've got to change. You've got to turn. The last 27 chapters of the book of Isaiah, chapters 40 through 66, gives hope, gives consolation as Isaiah unfolds God's promise of future blessings through the Messiah. Here's where we get the prophecy of a Messiah that's coming. As you read Isaiah, imagine this strong and courageous man of God fearlessly proclaiming God's word, and listen to his message. And his message is return, repent, and be renewed. From Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 20, it's titled Comfort for God's People, a wonderful title. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of the world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them forth each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives a strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men will stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Come to me. Would you pray with me? Gracious and merciful God, the invitation to come to your side and to be nurtured by you is one that's overwhelming. Because God, we know that you are a perfect God, you are a holy God, and yet you invite us into your presence. It almost defies explanation. But we know the only reason we can enter into your presence is through the sacrifice of your Son. And we know that the sacrifice of your Son is the result of your love for us. And we can't understand that fully either. Because we know that we are unlovable. We know that we are unlovely at times in your eyes. That the sin is what is unlovely. But that you continue to love us and accept us. And that's overwhelming. And sometimes we wonder, Father, how we should respond to that. And again, you showed us through the person of Jesus that as we are loved, we love others. As you accept us unconditionally, we accept others. As you care about us and care for every need that we have, we extend that same kind of care one to another. So when others are hurting, we're there to pick them up. When others have needs that seem overwhelming, we're there to lighten their burden. When others have pain that, again, defies description, we're there to nurture and to care. And Father, that's the nature of the gospel. As you have loved us, we love you and we love others. So we pray that this week it would truly be that simple. That we would reduce all the clutter in our lives, all the things that really don't matter, so that we can love you and we can love others. Please help us to do that. For it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Last year, we rededicated our education building after the renovations. At that time, we talked about what a firm foundation, a rock that it was built on. It's been said the Empire State Building has more construction underground than it does above ground, so it can sway with the wind and withstand all of that, the storms. Well, our education building not need quite that much underground foundation, but it was built on a much firmer foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ. My son, Mark, and many others, a lot who are still at College Park, were the first ones to occupy that building back in 1966. And some of those children, Kim and Charlie, Tammy, Laura, that grew up with Mark and Marla over there in that building, have led or are still leading my grandchildren in Sunday school, GAs, RAs, and in the music program. Now that is a firm foundation. The foundation and nurturing that my children and all those children received years ago, these adults, along with many others, are giving to my grandchildren today. And that's very evident because Murphy made a profession of faith this morning in the early service. And I am so proud of her. What a great day this is. Others that grew up that generation, Mitch, Carol Sowers, Beth Huff, James Stoneman, those are all still serving here at College Park in other capacities. And many others who have come through that building are serving in our city and across the state. What a firm foundation. May we pray. Dear Lord, I am so thankful for the firm foundation on which College Park is built. As a parent, I am so thankful for those leaders who guided and nourished and laid the foundation for those children some 40 to 45 years ago. As a grandparent, I am so thankful for our staff, the leaders, and the teachers today who guide and nourish and lay a firm foundation for all these precious children we've seen out here this morning, all of those over in our preschool department, our school-aged children, and our youth, who each day, each week, lead them in Sunday school, mission activities, and in music. Thank you, dear Lord, so much for all of these who show your love and care for each child. Now, as we bring our offerings, may we be good stewards. May we use our finances wisely as we continue to minister and build a firm foundation, not just here at College Park, but throughout North Carolina and around the world and here in our community. Bless these gifts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel.
He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name.
Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit.
The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground.
Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp.
He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills.
He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call.
His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse,
nor his delight in the legs of man.
The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love.
Goes beyond the height.
Last week we talked about when Jesus was around, miracles could just break out. And that seemed to be commonplace. Where he went, the places he went, the people he was with, they almost grew to expect it. The miraculous would happen if Jesus was around, the kind of guy that you want to hang out with. And that was part of the problem. Every time he turned around, there were more and more and more crowds that were gathered. It seems like he never had any time to kind of regroup. Well, the reason they wanted to hang around is because the miraculous could happen. People were healed. People knew that when they were around Jesus, everything was going to be all right. Healing, life took place in the presence of God. Think back in the Old Testament. You have Elijah breathing life into a dead boy's body. The passage that Kent read, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, is giving hope. He's telling them to wait on the Lord for the renewal of strength. Wait on God. Another passage that's part of our Revised Common Lectionary is talking that Paul is addressing the church at Corinth, and he's giving them the life-giving blessings of the gospel. Jesus, everywhere he went, seems like, healing the sick and the broken. And then as you read on, the disciples, when they went under the power of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, when they went healing the sick and the broken, again and again, and the message is the same. Wherever God is, wherever Jesus is, life comes to life. Things are going to be all right. And we're going to pick up kind of where we left off last week. We'll be in Mark chapter 1. We'll read a few verses. I invite you again to take your Bible if you have one. If not, there should be one close by in the pew there. And we're going to read Mark chapter 1 beginning in verse 29. And we'll read down through verse 39. So here we go. Verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the house of Simon and Andrew. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." As I said in the morning, the early service, there's almost like a parenthesis there. Maybe the disciples said, "Where have you been? Where have you been? Everybody's looking for you. Everyone." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. If you back up to verse 32 and through 34, you kind of see this scenario. You see this scene being played out. It's sundown, and the disciples are bringing to Jesus all who are sick, and the people are bringing to Jesus those who are sick and those who are possessed with demons. And the whole city, get that, everybody came. Everybody wanted to be a part of this. The whole city shows up at the door, and it says he cured those who were sick with various diseases. What a scene. I said this morning, I was born 2,000 years too late. I would have liked to have seen this. Because, you know, our tendency is to think, well, that just didn't happen today. And then we back up and we think about last week and say, why doesn't it happen today? Maybe it does. We're just not attuned to it. Maybe it does. Maybe the miraculous does happen every day, but we're so busy with our lives that we miss it. Because, see, the life-giving blessings of Jesus' touch are not just narrowed to that small band, if you will, relatively speaking, in terms of history. That small band of men and women
who actually had the opportunity to reach out and touch Jesus in the flesh. It's the blessings are not just limited to them. We don't have to celebrate that in an abstract sense, because we can look within. We too have joined the ranks of those first men and women who touched Jesus and were touched by Jesus and given new life because of him. You see, this newness of not life may come in our own lives. It may come through a renewal and restoration of a physical infirmity. It may or may not, depending on your circumstances. But surely all of us, for all of us, it's an opportunity to have spiritual restoration from sin. That's what Jesus offers. And this new life places on us not just the privilege of forgiveness, not just the privilege of new life, but also a responsibility. Lest we be just beneficiaries, we should also be conduits, kind of an individual pipeline, if you will, in which the loving and the life-giving Spirit of Jesus Christ flows into our lives and then into the lives of others. Those people that we minister to, those peoples who are in need, and we touch them in Jesus' name. The Apostle Paul, if you go back and read some of his writings, he got that. He understood that. You know, coming from a Pharisee background, he knew what the law would do, but he knew what freedom in Christ would do. And he said, you know, I've become all things to all people so that they will understand what Jesus is offering, newness in life through Jesus Christ. And we need to follow the example of Jesus and the example of the Apostle Paul. We need to follow their example, extending new life to others. I think that was the call of duty that Christ calls us to over and over again in the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." And then in one of his last parables, that of the sheep and the goats, Jesus promises God's reward for those who feed the hungry, those who give drink to the thirsty, those who welcome strangers, those who clothe the naked, those who care for the sick, and those who visit the imprisoned. And if you'll look around you this morning, this congregation is full of people who do exactly that, who feed the hungry. And we're not talking about just in the programs we have at church. I'm talking about in the community where it hits the road. Involved with agencies who feed the hungry, who give drink to the thirsty, who welcome strangers, who clothe the naked, who care for those who are sick, who visit people in the hospital and give them love and encouragement, visit the imprisoned, and let them know of the hope that they have in Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. Loving God, loving others. Loving God, loving others, because he first loved us. And we can convey that sense of life in the name of Jesus Christ. But here's the warning. Beep, beep, beep. You see it in big red letters. Warning, warning, warning. Here's the warning. And it's pretty clear in Scripture here. What we have to keep in mind, it's crucial. It is absolutely crucial for us to do so that we need to understand that we can be effective in our ministry only insofar as we ourselves remain connected to the source of life. Did you get that? We can be effective in ministry only insofar as we stay connected to the source of life, and that is God. The God who created us, the God who knows all about us, the God who knows that we need to stay plugged into him. Jesus, in this passage, he is absolutely pouring life into those who are sick and those who are broken there in Peter's hometown. And Mark goes on to say, you know, he tells us what Jesus did next. It wasn't to go out into the public square and celebrate and say, "I'm the man. I am the man. Did you all see that? The whole town's gathered. I'm that good." No. He knew where his power came from. He knew where his strength came from. He withdrew. He withdrew to spend time with the Father to ensure that God's Spirit continued to flow unabated into his soul so it could be dispensed to others as they needed it. It's that simple. The funny thing is, we try to do it on our own. Somehow we think we're a little bit better than Jesus. God, I got this. I got this. Or God, I'm sorry, I'm too busy doing ministry today to talk to you. Hello. It's a real trap for vocational ministers, trust me. God, I just don't have time for Bible study today. I don't have time really for prayer because I got to get to the hospital. I've got to go visit this person. I've got to go here. I've got to go here. I've got to go here. And at the end of the day, you just collapse and you say, I'm sure God will understand. No, he doesn't. He understands that you're missing an opportunity to let his strength empower your ministry instead of trying to do it all yourself. If we want to be his hands and feet, we need his strength. And to get his strength, we have to stay plugged in. One of the great missionaries, I think, of the 20th century was a lady named Mary Read. Mary was a young woman who was determined that she wanted to bring life to the women of India in the name of Jesus. If you know anything about that culture, you understand the significance of her commitment. And for 8 years, she worked under difficult conditions in Kanpur in India until her health just began to collapse. And those who cared about her said, Mary, you've got to take some time. You have to rebuild. So they sent her off to the Himalayas to recuperate. And while she was there, she discovered a colony of some 500 plus lepers, those who had leprosy, living there without any kind of help, any kind of support. Sometime later, she returned back to India, but within a year, her health continued to fail. And again, those people around who cared for her said, you need to go back to America. You need to get well. Physically, you need to regroup. She came back to America, and much to her dismay and the confusion of the doctors, her health continued to decline until that one day when she figured it out. The pain in her fingers, the spot that was coming up on her face. In working with that community of lepers, she had contracted Hansen's disease, otherwise known as leprosy. I think she would have had every right to say, oh, thanks a lot, God. Yeah, I'm out doing your work. And this is how you repay me. Thanks for nothing. Now, she didn't respond that way. She said, what a great opportunity. Now I can go back and minister to that colony of lepers and be one of them. I can say, I do understand. I'm right here with you. And because of her spirit, this settlement, this colony, there's now a hospital. There's a community that's supporting the ministry that she began. One lady, supported by a close group of friends, one lady, a soul actually just filled to the brim with the life of Jesus Christ, a servant of the Lord who brought life to those who were broken in body and spirit by a dreaded disease. That's being the hands and feet of Christ. One of my favorite stories that was reminded of when we talk about the education building here, we think about children and what they can teach us. There's a story of a vacation Bible school teacher. He had first and second graders in VBS, and he was talking to them about what it means to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world. And as he began to tell them all about it, he said, now where does Jesus live today? And these were mostly all good church kids. They had all the right answers. These are 6 and 7 year olds. They know everything anyway. And so they replied to him. They said, he lives in me. Jesus lives in me. He lives in my heart. He lives in me. Jesus lives in me. But one little boy who wasn't raised in church was a little confused by that. He's looking at the picture of Jesus up on the wall and kind of squinting. He looks at the teacher and said, I got a question. If Jesus is big and I'm small, if he lives in me, won't he stick out? That's pretty good theology. If Jesus lives in me, he'll stick out. Others will see him sticking out. His hands and feet will become our hands and feet. Wherever Jesus is, everything ends up all right. Maybe not the way we expect or even desire at that time. But everything will be okay. Miraculous things happen. Healing takes place. Life comes to life in the presence of God. May we be not just the beneficiaries of this blessing, may we be the instruments of that blessing as well. Let's pray and ask God to help us with that. Gracious Father, we do confess that we get ahead of you. In our actions, we basically say that we don't need you. And then we wonder why our efforts flop. We pray this morning that we would reestablish that pipeline. We would reestablish our connection with you so that you truly have an opportunity, a clean conduit to flow through us to minister to other people. Father, that is our heart's desire at the most basic level. That's what we desire. And we pray that we would surrender all that we have and all that we are so that will happen through us. God, we love you. We want to show the world we love you. We pray that you would reach out and touch us now at the point of our hurt and our need and selfishness and pride and all of those things. Heal us, restore us, and send us from this place. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here today and you say, Raymond, I'm not a believer, but I sure would like to be. And I've heard you talk about Jesus, and I don't have a relationship with him, but I would like to. I would love to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We're going to stand in just a minute, and we're going to sing a song. And if that's your heart's desire to know Jesus personally, I'll be here at the front, or you can call me this week. I'll be glad to meet you somewhere and talk with you about it. If you're here this morning, you say, Raymond, I'm a believer, but buddy, after hearing the sermon and reading the scripture, I figured out I'm really not any use to the kingdom. I'm a little bit wrapped up in my own stuff, and I want to be more used by God. You can certainly have that conversation with God where you are, and he'll put you back on track. I'll be glad to talk with you if that's what you desire. The altar will be open if you want to come and pray here. If you're here this morning and you say, I love this church. I'm growing to love it more every day, and I'd like to be a member at College Park. There's many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to talk with you, and we'll find a way to make that happen. But whatever your decision is, I want to stress on you that the issue of the day is reestablishing your relationship with God. Feeling his presence in your life so that you can extend life to others. That's why we're here, people. Love God, love others, because he first loved us. Amen? Let's stand and sing together. Becky told you before the offertory prayer that Murphy let her desire be known in the early service to follow the Lord's example in baptism. She made her profession of faith there. I've got even I don't say more, but an additional good news. Scott, Murphy's father, made a similar profession of faith. He, as a child, he was baptized, very young child. He was in a slightly different tradition, faith tradition. And he says, as a believer, I now want to follow the Lord's example. So I want you to know about that. And in March, we are going to have baptism service with father and daughter in the same baptism pool. And that's going to be one of the coolest things ever. So I want you just to rejoice with Scott and Murphy and of course, Marla and the whole family, Becky, and rejoice with them about the decisions that are being made to be obedient to the Lord's example. And it's a day for rejoicing. Amen? Amen. All right. After our benediction and response, I invite you to greet one another as we leave from this place. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, it is a beautiful day. It has nothing to do with the gray skies outside. It has everything to do with your presence here with us. And we pray that as we go, we would go with the sense of knowing that you care so much about us, that you want to guide our steps and give us strength so that we can minister in your name. That's our prayer. That is our desire. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.